It's true that some things change as we get older. But if you're a woman over 40 and you're dealing with insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, you don't have to accept it as just another part of aging. And with Midi Health, you can get help and stop pushing through it alone. The experts at Midi understand that all these symptoms can be connected to the hormonal changes that happen around menopause. And Midi can help you feel more like yourself again. Many healthcare providers aren't trained to treat or even recognize menopause symptoms. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts. They're dedicated to providing safe, effective, FDA-approved solutions for dozens of hormonal symptoms, not just hot flashes. Most importantly, they're covered by insurance. 91% of MIDI patients get relief from symptoms within just 2 months. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If you wear glasses, you know how hard it is to find the perfect pair. But step into a Warby Parker store, and you'll see it doesn't have to be. Not only will you find a great selection of frames, you'll also meet helpful advisors and friendly optometrists. Yep, many Warby Parker locations also offer eye exams. So the next time you need glasses, sunglasses, contact lenses, or a new prescription, you know where to look. To find a Warby Parker store near you or to book an eye exam, head over to warbyparker.com/retail.
Brace the rudders! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started today at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's
world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Nothing beats a nice warm cup of tea.
You're literally starting the promo like that. Wow. Okay. Oh, I'm here for it. Let's go for it.
January Thursday afternoon.
Yeah. I mean, do you want me to? I'm just going to take a pause.
Slurp.
Have a little.
Killian's going to have a slurp over there, but he's not on mic.
That is good. I made this cup of tea, so a little bit of love has been put in.
It's good, Murph. We've had arguments over the years about it, but you have put a bit of love in. You've customized the tea, yeah, which is all I ever ask for.
And a lot of lads don't do that.
Leave my tea bag in a little longer.
I don't want to tell you my secret, but
go on.
I just throw all of the tea bags into your mug. So after I've made my cup of tea, that tea bag is then transported into your mug.
Yeah, it works.
Many times you have five tea bags floating around in.
But hang on, am I now having five hits of caffeine there?
No. I mean,
my cups of tea are worth about like four cups of coffee.
No. I've taken the caffeine,
a bit of energy drink on top there as well.
Yeah. No, I've taken most of the caffeine from every tea bag, but it's just a little boost on top of your own full tea bag.
So yeah, tea is great. You know what's also great?
Hit me up.
Signing up to the World Series.
Yeah, I thought so.
There's all sorts of stuff being played out midweek in the Premier League. And I feel these are the weeks I feel bad for our non-members. They're none the wiser as to what's going on in the Prem.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of them, one or two of them have phones or whatever. They might have seen snippets.
Sitting around anxiously waiting to see what... I mean, we may end up not even talking about it on Monday's show because so much will have happened since
completely.
Then. Do you know?
Just not properly informed until hearing our daily football coverage on the World Service. And that's what it is, even in non-football pods during the week when the Premier League is on. Football does take centre stage every day, Monday to Friday. And today was an official football pod as Ken, Jonathan Wilson and Rory Smith tried to figure out answers to weighty questions such as, what exactly is Declan Rice?
Well, I think they sort of signed him as a holding midfielder, that kind of number six that they felt they'd been missing, although obviously Thomas Partey was meant to be the number six. But he is a bit more dynamic than that, Rice. He's that kind of, he's a little bit more in the, not to the same quality necessarily, but like that Gerrard, like box to box dynamo role. But I think that there's been an issue with Arsenal just haven't looked as fluid, as settled, as, what's the word, like rhythmic, as they did at times over the last 2 years. And I think Rice has been caught up in that. Possibly, a cause of that as well, at least in part, that they just don't seem to be quite as in gear as they did for some time. And I suppose that might be, it's hard to separate cause and consequence, and I'm not pretend I can do it. Is that because Rice has been a little bit below his usual best? Is it because his role is a bit more muddled? Is it because it's difficult to get him kind of doing everything, rather than just saying, right, this is your kind of area of focus? Or is it because the team have got, like a lot of teams in the Premier League, have got an awful lot of injuries and are having to chop and change quite a lot, and that has cost lots and lots of teams their kind of sense of rhythm?
Steven Gerrard's a very flattering comparison for Declan Rice.
He's not of that ilk.
It's insane. I mean,
I did make it very clear, not in terms of quality, but I think you don't see that many midfielders who are box to box anymore. Like, everyone's very, very big on this bit's your job. Bruno Guimarães is maybe the only other one I can think of who kind of does a bit of everything. Rice, it strikes me, is tasked with being kind of much more mobile, much more kind of omnipresent than most midfielders.
But I think that's a big problem for him, and I think it's a problem for coaches as well. That, and there's actually been a few players like this over the last sort of 10-15 years, and Gerrard, I think, is maybe one of the earlier ones to fall in that category. Paul Pogba, I think, did as well, where you sort of think of him as a holding player who occasionally can break forward, but actually I'm not sure he's got the tactical brain to do that. I think there's been some talk at Arsenal that Arteta has a very clear idea in his mind. I think he's even drawn up an algorithm of where players should be in certain circumstances, given the disposition of teammates and the opposition and the ball and the space. And Rice is apparently horrendously bad at it. Gerrard Timber apparently is the best at it.
Sorry, what is this algorithm?
I don't fully understand it. That's why I was being slightly hesitant. But it's okay. Yeah, it's some kind of... Saki had this. Irigo Saki had this. This theory that rather than the right back should be in this position, each player should calculate the ideal position for them according to where their teammates are, where the opposition is, where the ball is, and where the space is. And so you're constantly recalculating. From what I understand, Arteta or his coaching staff have some kind of modelling that sort of works out the ideal positioning, and players are supposed to be able to follow that. And Rice is the least good one in the squad at that, and Gerrard Timber is the best at it. And I think on a much more basic level, we've seen Rice, when he plays for England, when he plays as the deepest lying midfielder, he's often not in the right place. That's not quite what he's best at. And yet at the same time, I'm not sure he's quite got the tight technical skills to play high up the pitch. He has to sort of play as that, maybe a deep lying number eight, maybe a slightly advanced six alongside another six. A role has to be found for him, and it's almost paradoxical because he's so good at two different things. He's so dynamic. He's got such stamina. You think you want him charging up and down, make the most of that. He's okay at arriving late in the box, but I don't think he's the greatest finisher in the world. He's good at winning the ball back. He's good at challenging for the ball, but his positional sense means he can't really play as the deepest lying player. So I think him alongside, say, peak Jorginho would have been perfect, and he could drive forward. Jorginho obviously now is coming to the end of his career and doesn't himself quite have the dynamism to do that. I think Rice is clearly. He has excellent attributes. It's just how you apply them. You've got to be fairly considered as a manager to work out how to do that.
Yeah, I mean, he reminds me more, and obviously not exactly, but I would group him more with players like Jordan Henderson or Gareth Barry, say, who were really strong, really really athletic players who never really, when they played as a number six, looked, like top rank. I can't compare him to Gerrard because he doesn't have anything like the same ability with his feet, I would say, the kind of explosiveness that Gerrard had, which enabled him to kind of play as a number 10 and score a lot of goals. This may be why Arsenal, I guess, I mean, the other thing that was happening in the last few days with Arsenal, everyone's saying, we need a striker. And apparently they're going to pay £51 million to sign Zubimendi from Real Sociedad. Rory, he's apparently going to be joining them in the summer, or at least Sammy McBell in the Daily Mail reported that this was pretty much a done deal. So I guess that means that Declan Rice is being seen not as a six going forward. That's what Zubimendi is for, and Declan Rice's future is more as a kind of a box-to-box type player.
Yeah, and I think, like Jonathan says, that's probably what you need him to be to get the best out of him. And I just want to stress again, not saying he's as good a player as Gerrard was. I think Zubimendi is probably the peak Jorginho that Wilson mentions, that he's the more traditional kind of creative six. He's not like a midfield destroyer, but he's the kind of the tempo setter, the playmaker, or the deep line playmaker. And then Rice will be the kind of the energy and the explosiveness. And that strikes me as being quite a nicely balanced midfield.
It does, but you know, kind of an interesting question here is, how is it that there still isn't an English player who can do this?
That's a good question.
I can't think of any. Like, you know, I can't think of any.
Adam Wharton.
Angel Gomez.
Yeah, I suppose, although he's obviously been exiled. He's been banished to France.
To abroad, yeah. yeah. He has to stay abroad. Yeah, I think it's cultural to an extent. I think English players, for all the academy systems changed, there's certain things that English football probably discourages early on, or maybe it prioritises other things early on, and that naturally influences the types of players that come through. And the other thing, I suppose, would be if you are Declan Rice, when you were growing up and learning to be a midfielder, the players that you learned to emulate weren't necessarily the kind of
John Terry was his football hero growing up. And I saw Gary Neville asking that question. Without hesitation, he said John Terry.
Well, I mean, look at the martial values that John Terry kind of represents. And you can, I mean, I suppose to an extent you have your answer that there's always been a sort of emphasis on energy and industry in England, which I think probably makes it hard for players who are that style of number six to come through, because that's not necessarily what teams want or what youth teams certainly will like prioritise. It's a skill set that generally still has to be imported from abroad. That might change in time, but I suspect it's quite a deep-rooted thing.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. Default terms at mintmobile.com.
It's true that some things change as we get older. But if you're a woman over 40 and you're dealing with insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, you don't have to accept it as just another part of aging. And with Midi Health, you can get help and stop pushing through it alone. The experts at Midi understand that all these symptoms can be connected to the hormonal changes that happen around menopause, and Midi can help you feel more like yourself again. Many healthcare providers aren't trained to treat or even recognize menopause symptoms. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts. They're dedicated to providing safe, effective, FDA-approved solutions for dozens of hormonal symptoms, not just hot flashes. Most importantly, they're covered by insurance. 91% of MIDI patients get relief from symptoms within just 2 months. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Raise the rudders! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started today at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
Richie Sadler's here. Richie, how are you?
How are you, lads?
How are you, lads?
Richie, how are you, lads?
How are you doing this week?
I'm marvellous.
Look at the joy on my face. Look how happy I was. What the fuck happened? No, really. You know, what happened?
When John was young, everyone in the city knew about it, but no one had seen him.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's persuaded of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Sign up today to hear all our coverage of the week's Premier League action. SecondCaptains.com. €5 a month as well. It's All Ireland Club Final weekend, Kieran.
It is indeed.
As you're well aware, if you have listened to our GAA slots over the years, you may be aware of Murph's religious devotion practically to one particular GAA video online entitled Peter Canavan, Club Scores. Murphy, it starts with a clip of the great man getting assaulted on multiple occasions on his way to scoring an incredible point as he's being pushed down one final time. They're still grabbing at him as he's kicking it over.
It's the best point
the
I've ever seen, and it's not close. The second best point is nowhere near.
The second best point is that point again, because they circle back to it at the end of this amazing montage and
show
some slow-mo shots. But on Saturday, in the All-Ireland Cup semi-final, Peter Canavan's sons, Dara and Rory, did their best to recreate this video in one match. We talked about all of this on Tuesday's pod. It's All-Ireland Club Final week, and we have enlisted the help of a man who famously lost the 2009 All-Ireland Final, the Chemical Croaks. Oisín, how's the form?
Oh, what an introduction.
Oh, man.
I think you might have owed me that, though, did you?
Did I go back and look at a bit of the match report? Yes, I did. It was the famous black and amber shirts that looked distracted and uncertain. Their customary assassin's cam flustered into 10 wides, twice as many as the winners, including uncharacteristic placed ball misses by Oisín McConville and Tony Kearn. It's a shame you never got over the line in the All-Ireland Club, Oisín. I mean, it's a real stain on your career.
That was the only one we lost. I think we'd won about, I think I had said the week before we played Kilmacud, we'd won the previous 26 finals or something we played, and that was Ulster, Armagh, and All-Irelands. And I wish I hadn't have said that now.
Well, it's a long time ago. What about the weekend, in particular the performance of the Canavan brothers? These lads are talented enough, aren't they?
Yeah, look, the thing about them is if there's any sort of open space, they just revel in it. And they love to express themselves, and they look as if they're having a bit of fun. And a lot of times people have said that, you know, this GAA thing is devoid of having fun, but they just look as if they're expressing themselves, and they're given the license to do that. And I don't, you know what? I think even if they weren't given the license to do that, they'd just do it anyway, because that's just seemingly the way they play football. I've seen them for probably on 6-7 years now, minor football, under-20s. Seen them at the club, seen them playing with Tyrone, obviously. So, like, they were always destined for great things. And you forget that Dara Canavan has an All-Ireland in his back pocket. He has a Sigerson Cup, and he's on the edge of winning an All-Ireland club. So, and some people remarkably say that his career has not really started yet. So I fear for when it does sort of kick into gear, because he's done quite well. He's done quite well so far. He actually was quiet in a few games at the start of the Ulster Championship, and I felt as if he was carrying some sort of niggle, but he looks free from that now, and he looks back to the player that everybody knows he is. And Rory just seems to have grown in confidence, and the club is a good platform in order to do that. The club is a good, like, it's a steep learning curve for a lad to come out of 20s straight into a senior team and expect to be one of the leading lights in a forward lane. That's a massive step up. The club gives you that. There's a little buffer zone there with the club, and it gives you an opportunity to sort of bridge that gap and get the confidence going. And it's obviously a level below inter-county football, but as I say, it gives you that opportunity just to find out the strengths and weaknesses in your game, and you're coming up against, like, when they're being pitted against whoever they are at club level, like, normally speaking, those two are earmarked for the best two-man markers in the opposition. So both of those are usually inter-county players of some note. So I wouldn't say it's simple for them, but as I say, I think Rory in particular looks as if he's grown in confidence and found his feet and found the things that he is really, really good at, and he's just, they're just exposing defences. Any sort of gap, any sort of lapse in concentration, which maybe, as I say, you don't really get that as much in the county level, but at club level, you're going to get those little lapses, and they just punish you just unbelievably in those little lapses.
Yeah, and I mean, the telepathy they showed at various stages throughout the game, I mean, it was seen most strikingly with Dara's goal. I mean, the finish is incredible, but the pass by Rory is just, it's just out of this world good, you know? It's whatever about hitting a guy in the chest from 40 yards, it's hitting Dara Cavan, who is an absolute speedster, on the chest, on the run. I mean, it was just crying out to be finished, and Dara did it with some aplomb.
Yeah, he hits him in his stride. He doesn't check, he doesn't have to do anything. You can only imagine the conversations that are going on in that house, but the way he, even just to, like, a lot of players in that situation don't even scan, don't even look up and think of the possibilities. And that's why I'm saying, like, they're just a little bit different. There's probably a couple of players realistically on every team, whether that be inter-county or club team, who are willing to take those chances. And look, at if they don't come off, they don't come off. But they seem to probably have the license to do that. And as a result of that, I think, you know, we're about to see the best of them. And like, they'll revel in the open spaces of Crow Park as well. There's no point in saying any different. But like, Cooley seemed quite comfortable there too. But the way they are playing, and you, as you say, the understanding that the two boys have with each other. And look, they're not on their own. There's Eric Kane of a lot of accomplished players. A lot of players that probably will be knocking on the door to play with Tyrone this year. But look, they're the standouts. And like, if they play well in the final, it's going to be very difficult for Cooley to win it.
Yeah. I mean, at one stage, Dara hopped the ball and Rory caught it and swung the ball nearly over, hit the post. I think that was the first wide that either of them had, and that was in like the 37th minute. But, I mean, you played alongside your brother for a good while. Like, he was a forward as well. Did you think you had a special relationship with him, an understanding of what he was going to do before he did it, over and above, say, any other player?
Our understanding was that he got fouled for free kicks and then I kicked him over the bar. Yeah. Apart from, obviously, 2009, Owen.
Yeah.
But but I suppose the thing about that was that, like, I felt as if at that stage it was a massive responsibility on both of us. And as I say, like, we were probably very different footballers, but we had that sort of understanding. And one of the understandings, to be honest, was to hold each other accountable. And as I say, I know I was joking about the fact that he did win the majority of our free kicks. And like, if I miss one of them, like, I get it, like, you know, I get it in the ear, yeah, like, after him getting half killed to get it, you know. I remember actually one of the first times we played at inter-county level, we were in Cork, and he was Niall Cahalan hit him. I think it was the last kick of the game, and he was being stretchered off, and on the way off, he stopped the boys who were carrying the stretcher and shouted over at me, "You make sure you kick that ball over the bar." So as if there wasn't enough pressure, I think that was probably my second, probably my second league game at Armagh. So that sort of continued on along that theme. But I think when you're playing in there with your brother, you'd sort of have that extra little bit of understanding. And look, I knew what runs he was making, he knew what runs I was making. And when you look at the Canavans, I remember that when Dara bounced the ball and I think Rory got it, there was a little, the camera panned to Dara after, and he was laughing, like, you know, as much as, you know, don't let that happen again, sort of thing. Like, and that's why I was saying, they just seem to be having fun. And you know what, when you're confident and you're playing like that and you're having that bit of crack, and you know, you just feel as if you can do anything. And We had a little bit of that going on as well.
You were talking earlier on about what sort of conversations they must be having in the house or whatever about their games. I'd suggest maybe very few conversations.
Like, exactly.
You can't say, here, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to hop the ball. You're going to come around. You're going to pick it. Like, these things are happening instinctively just based on years, I guess, of playing with each other in the garden, in the club, wherever it was.
Yeah, but I also think it feels like a very relaxed sort of relationship. I think they have, they seem to have a really good attitude towards playing football. And this, as I say, they seem to be having that, that bit of crack. And I think that definitely helps whenever you're you're basically playing from January to January every year. And like you would expect at this stage, having gone through inter-county season, college season, club season, that they look jaded. But they don't. They look really, really fresh. And I think that's part, a lot of that is down to the attitude. And you're right, the conversations are probably not all centred around football. They just look as if they're, as I say, they're having a bit of fun.
Yeah, and I think anyone who's played with their brothers, any bit of football with their brothers, would also have recognised when Dara went through for, I think it was the first point of the second half, and it was actually a brilliant save. But I looked to his left, and there was Rory waiting for the pass, and Rory absolutely roared, like shouted and screamed. And I was like, only his brother would get away with shouting like that, like that much of a lunatic at him, given the game that Dara was playing even at that. But I mean, like the big thing about this Errigal run is, like a lot of people have been talking about this fact that they're actually the first Tyrone club to get to an All-Ireland club final. And given how utterly dominant the Tyrone intercounty team were throughout your intercounty career, you'd have to say that this is a bit of a surprise. I'm
getting the boat barrels today, now. I wasn't expecting that anymore. I think a lot of it comes about from the fact that Ulster is very, very competitive. But I think anybody who's been at Tyrone Championship, even Tyrone League, like it's ferocious. Like nobody treats the league the way they treat it, and like the championship isn't straight knockout, so it's difficult. So let's say a team comes out of Tyrone having won the championship for the first time in 10 years. Well, the tendency is that, you know, they'll have a couple of days at it at least, and then they're going into a game where they haven't played in the Ulster Championship in whatever 10 years or 5 years, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, they find that the levels have ramped up, even from their own club championship, and a lot of teams find it difficult to go back to back, and therefore, like, it's very easy to rectify that if you go back to back, because if you win one, maybe, you know, have a good time or whatever. But the other major problem when we played against Tyrone teams, for some reason, the Tyrone Championship was the week before the Ulster Championship started. Now, they've rectified that. It's taken them some time to rectify them. Last year was the first year that actually happened. So I think that definitely has helped them. And then when you're on that winning habit and that winning momentum, and when you're playing knockout football right from the start of the Championship, like they're playing knockout football from October, and they're used to it, and they've won, what, four games? Five games maybe by a point, and that is a seriously good habit to be in. And people say, oh, well, lucky enough, when you're winning games by a point, take games like that, you know that that's building serious momentum and just confidence within the squad.
If you haven't noticed, it's winter, and now more than ever, I'm in need of a little treat. That's why I joined First Leaf, a wine club that delivers my favorite types of wine right to my door. Because there's really no better treat than a glass of delicious red, white, or rosé. So go ahead and treat yourself to world-class wines from First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/winter to get your first 6 bottles for just $44.95 with free shipping. That's tryfirstleaf.com/winter.
Hey, it's Mark Maron from WTF here to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. And I'm sure the reason you're listening to this podcast right now is because you chose it. Well, choose Progressive's Name Your Price tool, and you could find insurance options that fit your budget so you can pick the best one for your situation. Who doesn't like choice? Try it at progressive.com. And now, some legal info. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
What does it look like? A turnip, is it?
Yobs.
There's an incredible podcast on at the moment produced by the Second Captains.
Biggest load of bollocks.
The Second Captains show in Ireland.
We're now getting to that point now where we are inspiring.
The Second Captains podcast.
pretty much we've done for the last 20 years. Be role models to kids.
Hey, Pat, do you want to split?
Anyone fancy a little snippet from our weekly US Murph playoff slot?
Please,
we can
please
do that now. We started by talking about the LA Rams, who had to move their Monday Night Football match against the Vikings to Glendale, Arizona, because of the fires in LA. And possibly inspired by the adversity, the Rams absolutely hammered the Vikings.
I mean, what a shocker. I mean, I picked the Vikings in that game with you guys last week. Part of a mediocre run of picks I gave
three
you guys.
Three for but, six, Brian. I think you went 50-50.
Not good, buddy. Not good at all. It's been a tough year for me. It really has been. I've been zigging when they zag. I've been zagging when they zig. So, but yeah, I mean, my thought going into that game was that, you know, Minnesota had such a better year. And you know, the Rams are in the Niners division, the NFC West. And I hadn't been overwhelmed by them at any point in the season. I was not overly impressed by them. They were stacking up a decent amount of wins. And of course, they kind of snuck in and won the West with a 10-7 record. They were not by any means a juggernaut in the NFC this year, but they did well to come back from a 1-4 start. And their veteran quarterback, Matt Stafford, is always to be reckoned with. And their coach, Sean McVay, does a great job. But what I think has happened over the last few weeks here is that their young defense has been emerging right in front of our eyes, and that's what happened yesterday. They absolutely strangled the Minnesota Vikings offense, which had been high-flying all year under their sort of Cinderella story, Sam Darnold, the former top draft pick who had been bounced out of three different teams, including the 49ers, not really bounced out, but never really found his home after getting bounced out of the New York Jets. So I kind of thought that the Vikings had put together a better resume, all that stuff. But man, oh man, the Rams' young defense is arriving. They've spent a ton of draft picks on young guys. They're hitting on all of them. They sacked Sam Darnold 9 times, which is an extraordinarily high number. In fact,
wow,
it ties the NFL playoff record of all time. And to your point on the LA factor, the fire factor is, you know, it's unquantifiable, but I think it's probably undeniable too. You know, they were wearing LAFD gear. Those kind of things galvanize people. It's been very traumatic. They had to uproot, you know, their entire operation and move it to Arizona. Clearly, they were playing not just great football from a young, hungry defensive standpoint, but from a sort of a galvanized standpoint too. So just a heck of a story all around. Made feel good for LA, you know, I say 49er rival, obviously, in football, but you feel good for that story and feel good for the team. And it seemed like their fans were louder than usual last night. So the Rams, they get the win and knock the Vikings out. That story is over and on they go to Philadelphia.
Yeah, we talked about the Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold last week. Seeing ghosts out there, you brought us that brilliant quote. Well, he got sacked, as you say, those 9 times. So mostly what he saw were not ghosts, but 300-pound linemen sitting on his face all day. So, it's a hell of a tale. God, like just the two hammerings he got on the back of what you described as a Cinderella story. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, he, you know, it's funny. I mean, he was a big story because, you know, he's going to be, he only signed a 1-year deal in Minnesota. And all of a sudden, people by the end of December were saying, wow, oh my God, the Sam Darnold that was a top draft pick coming out of USC has finally found his footing. He's going to be worth so much. And there was all sorts of dominoes that were beginning to fall in the speculative universe. Like, okay, does Minnesota sign him to a long-term deal? And then they throw to the wayside their top draft pick, J.J. McCarthy, out of the University of Michigan, who won a national championship with Michigan last year. He was picked 10th in the draft. It was all of a sudden, we talked about him. You talked about him being on the sidelines and his face and Darnold's face and all that during the Detroit game. Well, now to stack another game on top of that, his Sam Darnold's stock 2 weeks ago, he literally, if you guys can find the footage, they won a game 2 weeks ago and he came into the locker room and was literally like an astronaut, like a freaking astronaut coming back to you know, to stateside. He was carried on their shoulders. It was an incredible scene in Minnesota. And everybody was like, man, the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold is such a story. They were 14-2. It was when they beat the Green Bay Packers right after Christmas, 27-25, to kind of put a cherry on their season going into that Lions game. But man, in 2 short weeks, that's how fast it can change. 2 short weeks, getting thumped by the Lions 31-9 and getting thumped by the Rams 27-9. Now people are like, Vikings are fine moving on from Darnold back to J.J. McCarthy. I mean, they haven't said anything yet, but that's the speculation. And now it's like, well, where does Darnold go now? I mean, who's going to go ahead and give him the money? Because, yeah, he had a great regular season, but when the games really mattered, and boy, you heard Troy Aikman, the ESPN ABC commentator, former three-time Super Bowl champ for the Cowboys, really being frank about how Darnold had cost himself literally tens of millions of dollars with those two performances. So quite the story, quite the story.
Oh, Brian, I know you love correspondence from World Service members, even when it's pointed, especially when it's pointed.
Yes.
So here's one from Paul Carty. A courage, says Paul, as a Washington Commanders season ticket holder, put some respect on our name by giving us more than a US Murph throwaway mention on the playoff preview pod. Perhaps US Murph is a little salty that we tempted away the former 49ers assistant GM and general draft savant Adam Peters, who has rebuilt this franchise from a 4-13 basket case in 2023 to a resurgent pretender in 2024. And this is not to even mention star quarterback Jaden Daniels, who's playing close to the level that got Lamar Jackson the MVP last year. I'm sure if the Steelers, Packers, or the 49ers quarterbacks are putting up these numbers, we'd never hear the end of it. But no, you'd rather go over the dregs of the Jets car crash season than talk about a true renaissance story for one of the NFL's great franchises who's given us an all-time NFL moment this season with the Hail Mary miracle in Maryland.
Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line, and the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
Oh, this one will be paid back.
It's high time Washington Commanders again commanded your attention and respect for the NFL pods. That said, love the show. All the best, Paul.
That said, at the end is good, yeah.
He checked it all, and you always got to end it with a love the show. That just gets you that get out of jail free card, right? But man, oh man, hey, I can't argue with a freaking syllable or word in that entire email. He is 100% on point. Actually, I take that back. I can argue with one point. No salt at all. No bitterness at all. No. I got no shade for the Washington Commanders. No dislike at all. And he's got great knowledge. That's great front office executive knowledge to know that the GM of the Washington Commanders is the former assistant GM with the San Francisco 49ers, Adam Peters. That's a guy who knows his front office travelings.
Oh, Brian, he mentioned about two or three other guys in the front office as well. For brevity's sake, I cut that bit out.
Well, listen, this is his time to crow, man. This is Paul's time. Let's go. Let's give Paul his flowers. Let's give Paul his credit, because the Washington Commanders, out of all the stories from Wild Card Weekend, they're number one. They are the best story out of Wild Card Weekend for sure. Yeah. Okay. Why did we not talk about them so much? Well, you know, okay, they didn't win the East. They were a wild card. They were a very good story. They have most wins since 1991. They probably should have gotten more attention for that. Jaden Daniels, their rookie quarterback, without question, is a thing. It is a happening. It is a story. It's kind of hard to explain why he slipped past our talking points and most of America's too. I mean, the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell are such a huge story. I mean, the Eagles command and gobble up so much airspace whenever they're good because Philadelphia is Philadelphia. You know, the Vikings and Sam Darnold was a story. And then over in the AFC, you always have the Chiefs eating up bandwidth. The argument between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen was a huge time gobbler over here too. So yes, the Commanders with several legitimate, outstanding points and storylines kind of got overlooked. It's a true story. No more. They are not overlooked anymore. And Jaden Daniels was fantastic all year. He was the number two. If we need to bone up again now, he was the number two pick in the draft, as opposed to the Chicago Bears, who took Caleb Williams with the number one pick in the draft. Caleb Williams out of USC, Jaden Daniels out of Louisiana State. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy, but Caleb was considered maybe just by a thin margin, maybe had a couple more physical skills. There were people at the time of the draft that said, nope, Jaden Daniels is better. And those people are looking correct right now, because Jaden Daniels is sensational. Most of all, his poise and his manner and his bearing when it matters most. He's at his best in the fourth quarter in the tightest games. And that showed in their wild card win over Tampa. And I like Tampa, and I know I picked the Bucks. I've kind of been, the last couple of years, I've kind of got a small little crush on Baker Mayfield and his resilience story. And he's a really, really, really good quarterback. But they made one critical mistake down the stretch, and they had a biffed handoff and fumbled. And that's all the Commanders needed to take it to the house. And Jaden Daniels made several clutch plays down the stretch. This guy is a thing. He's a dude. He's a guy. I like him. I like Washington. I confess, it's politically incorrect. I miss the Redskins. It's what I grew up with. It's just the team I always knew. It's weird for me to call them the Commanders. I confess that plays a small role in them being overlooked. They were called the football team a couple years ago. They've gone through three name changes. That's kind of part of the deal, is that they've lost their identity a little bit. But if there's a time for them to crow, and if there's a time for Paul to crow, it's right now. And I'll tell you this, going into Detroit, everybody would say, oh, no brainer. The Lions are rested. The Lions are the one seed. The Lions are at home, and the Lions should win that game. I'll tune in. I'll give the Commanders a puncher's chance. I'm not writing them off totally. So, Paul, this is your moment.
U.S. Murph's predictions for this week. See, can he do better than last week? What is 3 from 6? Chiefs to beat the Texans. Lions to beat the Commanders.
Chiefs, Lions, yes.
Ravens to beat the Bills. Getting down, not happy with that.
Okay.
And enough, yeah. Eagles to beat the Rams. So there you go. See, can you do better than one out of every two correct answers? Thanks, Murph.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you.
Do you want one more mention of the World Service? Ah, no, you've done it already. Yeah. If you want to sign up, grand. You know what you're doing. Yeah. Listen, there's a few sups of tail left of me mug here after all that on. God, I do make you a nice cup of tea.
Second Caps Podcast, part of the Acast Creator Network.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's World Service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
If you haven't noticed, it's winter, and now more than ever, I'm in need of a little treat. That's why I joined First Leaf, a wine club that delivers my favorite types of wine right to my door. Because there's really no better treat than a glass of delicious red, white, or rosé. So go ahead and treat yourself to world-class wines from First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/winter to get your first 6 bottles for just $44.95 with free shipping. That's tryfirstleaf.com/winter.
Ever wonder just how good or bad your diet really is? The Mayo Clinic Diet has just launched its new diet score, a game changer in tracking your health. Your diet score is personalized based on tracking key activities that deliver healthy habits, support weight loss, and deliver long-term sustainable success. The Mayo Clinic Diet was developed by doctors and dietitians from the world-renowned Mayo Clinic. It's real foods, no gimmicks or fad diets, just life-changing healthy nutrition. Join today for access to customizable meal plans, tracking tools, group coaching, and at-home workouts. Everything you need for long-term success. Get your free diet score now at mayoclinicdiet.com/go. No sign-up needed. Now, the Mayo Clinic Diet accepts the Care Credit Card. The Mayo Clinic Diet. Healthy weight loss for life.
Hey there, buddy. Did you know that the entire world of software is changing with unbelievable speed because of AI?
Artificial intelligence? I heard it was evil.
Maybe so, but it's also making it possible to do and build things that could never be done before.
I wish there was some kind of podcast that would help me make sense of it all.
Well, I have great news. I'm Rich Ciotti.
And I'm Paul Ford. We are software industry veterans, and we're blown away by the potential of AI.
Check out Reckless, the weekly podcast about how AI is changing everything about the global software industry.
Reckless.